listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Anything's possible!
Gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. I am your host, New Bedford Nick Sacento. I'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Joel Pavone, as the Boston Celtics manhandle the Cleveland Cavaliers 110-88, protecting their perfect record at home on the season. 10-0 at TD Garden. Their best home start, might I add, since the 07-08 season, when that Boston Celtics team started out the season 12-0 at home. And I think nobody needs any reminder of what that 07-08 Boston Celtics team did. Championship team, for those that don't know. Once again, Boston Celtics manhandling the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers, 110-88, improving to 7-15 on the season, 10-0 at home. Very impressive team. Not impressive because they beat the Cavaliers, who are now 5-18 on the season. Cavaliers were not a test, but of course, this is a team that this past Friday beat the number two team in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets, by 108-95. Another drubbing, all things considered. And two nights before that, beat the Miami Heat. They beat the Heat 112-93. The Heat, at the time, the number two team in the Eastern Conference, Boston Celtics, defeating the Heat to leapfrog them for that, well, I guess it's not a title, but for that bragging right, so to speak. Boston Celtics 110-88 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. All five Boston Celtics starters scored in double digits, led by Kemba Walker, 22 points. 2 rebounds, 7 assists, a block, 8 for 13 shooting from the field, 5 for 9 from 3, including 3 threes in a row in the fourth quarter, at the end of the fourth quarter, I should say, as the Cleveland Cavaliers were just being pesky, hanging around, bothering Tommy Heinsohn, who just wanted the Boston Celtics to put them away, and as he said on the NBC Sports Net broadcast, just beat him by 40. So as the Cavaliers were trying to hang around, Kemba Walker said, nah, that's all right. 3 threes in a row, 22 points. Insane, plus 32 in the box score. Next man up on this five-headed monster. It's a five-headed monster tonight. Even the bench knocking it out the park, but we'll get to them in a second. Jaylen Brown, who set this game off. No slow start for the Boston Celtics tonight, as Jaylen Brown asserted his dominance and did so early. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 9 of 15 from the field. Not so great from behind the arc, 1 of 5 from 3. That's okay. 20 points, and plus 17 in the plus minus for Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum, again, the other cornerstone of the two young wings on this Boston Celtics team. 19 points, 11 rebounds, double-double for Jason Tatum, 7 of 14 shooting, 4 of 6 from behind the arc, making amends for previous, you know, shooting slumps that he's gone through, especially from behind the arc. But not to bury the lead, we had a return to the lineup. Long-awaited return. I've had fans ask on this very show what the timeline for return for this individual was. A guy who just couldn't seem to catch a break, or more accurately, could seem to catch a break, and that was what was keeping him out of the roster so frequently. Gordon Hayward, returning from metatarsal fracture surgery on his left hand, returning in a big way, as if he never left. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal on 7 of 10 shooting for Gordon Hayward. And then rounding out the starting lineup, of course, the Boston Celtics. He's not the new center, but new starting center. And boy, he's been a revelation this season. 10 points, only 1 rebound. That's pretty insane for 21 minutes for Daniel Theis. But he split the minutes at center between a few other players. 10 points, a rebound, 2 assists for Daniel Theis. Boston Celtics shot an insane for the team. 55.5, over 55.5 from 3% from 3, 57, over 57, nearly 58% from the field. Only took 8 free throws and still managed to destroy the Cleveland Cavaliers by 22 points. Bench did an excellent job, even though it doesn't show with some of these players in terms of their stats. I think Brad Wanamaker, as always, as usual, Mr. Dependable when they need him, had some beautiful passes. Only 3 points, 3 assists in 22 minutes. Didn't shoot so well this game, 1 of 6 from the field. Grant Williams, another guy who just happens to be in the right place at the right time, has an excellent basketball IQ for a rookie. 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and that assist was a beautiful pass on a fast break where he got a pass from, I believe, Gordon Hayward, and he just flipped it right back for an incredible dunk by the man of the hour, Gordon Hayward, returning from injury. I think that's enough with the stats. I mean, Enes Kanter had a nice game, 7 points, 4 rebounds. Vincent Poirier finally had a game that actually, you know, was, I mean, in garbage time, nice, you know, 4 points, 5 rebounds. That's decent to see. I thought he looked a little sluggish. I'm just not going to be a Vincent Poirier fan until I see more from him. Javonte Green even got into this game, got 2 points. Semi Ojeleye made a bunch of nice plays. He played the role of Marcus Smart tonight. Didn't get the scoring going, but just seemed to be the guy that was, you know, jumping in the passing lanes, diving on the floor, you know, making those hustle plays. Semi Ojeleye, you know, another underappreciated guy, doesn't really get things done in the box, doesn't really show up, you know, doesn't pop out at you in the box score in a negative 11 tonight, but just did some fantastic things with the ball that really stood out to me as an observer, as an amateur analyst, or whatever you want to call it. Once again, a great win by the Boston Celtics, 110-88 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And before I bring in my man, Joel Pavone, just want to remind everybody that this episode, the 22nd episode of the season for the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show, is brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and enter CLNS80. That's CLNS80. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. And with that, going straight to my man, now that I see him lighting up the switchboard, Joel Pavone. ¿Qué tal, loco? What's up, my brother? What'd you think about tonight's complete demolition of the Cleveland Cavaliers by the Boston Celtics, 110-88?
Well, I thought it was a fantastic game for Gordon Hayward to,
yes, sir,
kind of get rid of any rust he might have felt, or get rid of any like nerves or butterflies, so to speak. Get the first game out of the way, and he took care of business, as well as the rest of the Celtics starters, and a great team win. Another example of how deep this team is, and how much they rely on one another, and we've seen that through the first 22-23 games so far. So another great win, before they head out on the road for another Eastern Conference, foe, so to speak, in terms of top teams in the East that they're going to play against on come Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think we could probably discuss the upcoming matchup. I mean, I don't know. We might want to just jump right into it because, I mean, there's not much to talk about this game with the Cavaliers. I mean, you had two Cavaliers. They didn't really put up that much of a fight. They tried to make it interesting at the end, but, I mean, even that wasn't really all that interesting. I mean, they got within, 12, 11 points, something like that, within the last, 3 or 4 minutes of the game. But, I mean, you had Tristan Thompson and Jordan Clarkson leading the team in points, the only two Cavaliers in double figures. Tristan Thompson, a double-double, 17 points, 11 rebounds, and Jordan Clarkson, 19 points, three rebounds, three assists, a steal. I mean, the rest of the Cavaliers just really didn't get much going. I mean, even Colin Sexton just didn't do much. 4-14 shooting, he was just shut down. I mean, the Cavaliers were held to under 40% shooting from the field, under 23% shooting from three, 7 of 31 for three. I mean, this is fun basketball to watch, and I'm not going to read too much into it because it's the Cavaliers, but like I said in my opening monologue, whatever you want to call it, that, we've seen the Celtics do this now to elite teams as well. I mean, they ran Denver out of the, out of the garden. They, they beat the dog. Can I say dog piss? They beat the dog piss Miami Heat in the garden as well. I know that these are, this is all followed by in the garden. But, I mean, it's not like they haven't, played well on the road. I mean, they had to have played, well on the road. I mean, I'm looking back at their record. Well, most of their good wins really seem to have come at home. So I think that, their best game may be on the road. Was that that close loss to LA, which I considered to have been fairly poorly officiated. I wasn't feeling that one, but I mean, looking back on the season now, 22 games deep. I mean, you have a win over Toronto at home. That was the second game of the season. You have a win over Milwaukee, who's the second best team in the league, the best team in the Eastern Conference. Again, at home, a win over Dallas, impressive team. I think everybody loves that. That kid, what's his name, Doncic. Luka Doncic, I think, everybody is impressed with what that kid's doing out there, and, beat them fairly handily by double figures. Then running through that West Coast road trip wasn't very fun for the Celtics. Going, what was it, two of five, I think, on that road trip, beating only, Golden State, Sacramento. Not to recap the entire season, but, I mean, and then a loss to Brooklyn on the road. But this Boston Celtics team is now 17-5. So, I mean, there really aren't that many losses. They've taken the schedule as it's come to them. It just so happens that, the more difficult teams they've faced, most of them have been at home, and they've been up to the challenge. And not only that, and not only have they been up to the challenge, but they've handled those challenges, fairly handily. They handled them handily. Isn't that nice? I mean, so I'm not trying to take too much away from a 110-88 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I mean, this Boston Celtics team has done it to better teams, And if they continue to play this way, you know, they'll be in the top, one of the top seeds in the Eastern Conference, you know, come playoff time, because I think this is pretty clear. I mean, it's a quarter of the way through the season now, a little bit more than a quarter of the way through the season, and I think there's a fair enough sample size that you can look at this and you can say this Boston Celtics team is for real. And the way they played tonight, again, the Cleveland Cavaliers, it was a perfect game to get Gordon Hayward back in, Marcus Smart out, Lob Williams out, but, you know, just fun basketball, fast-paced basketball. This team is fast when it wants to run fast. If you can't stop them in the half-court game, if you can't stop their fast break, if you can't break them down and force them to play a half-court game, they will run all over you. And this is the type of game where I think in previous seasons, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, or let me know if you disagree, Joel, where in previous seasons, you know, it could have been a toss-up. You never know, you know, you'd like to say, yeah, against whatever 5-17 team or whatever the Cavs were coming into this season, that the Celtics would have, you know, you could just say, yeah, this is a given. It's a gimme. They got it. But I think in previous seasons, you just couldn't tell, because sometimes they played down, not sometimes, but frequently, they played down to their competition. Not anymore. This season, they're blowing out the teams they need to blow out, and they're even, you know, beating the teams handily that are, you know, elite competition. Would you tend to agree with that assessment? That I mean, this is what this team is supposed to do, and maybe in the previous couple of seasons, this wouldn't have been such a gimme. I mean, that they played down the competition before, whereas now they're kind of, you know, doing what they need to do.
Yeah, to a certain extent, you can see at least through, I want to say, like the first, like when they were on that 10-game winning streak. You saw how they were coming out like slow, and they would have to climb out of a hole, and you know the third quarters have been huge for the Celtics this year, and they've used pretty much that quarter to either climb out of a hole or keep a double digit lead. That's either one of really one or the other. Now when it comes to like you know playing down to their competition tonight. You saw a little bit of that. I'm not going to say a lot because, you know, they did have a double-digit lead for most of the game. But I think at one point they were up by 27 on the 29 points. And the Cavs cut that down to, like, I think, like 12. And Kemba had to come in and, like, shoot, like, back-to-back-to-back threes to kind of be like, all right, you know, let's put these guys away. You know, let's take the starters out kind of thing. And, you know, and it's like you were saying earlier, it's hard to kind of look at any negatives from a game like this. But you know, if this was a playoff team, I'm not even gonna say like a contender. If this was just like a playoff team, that might have been gone the other way. Like for example, the Clippers. Remember the Celtics were up by 10, probably with like you know, 4 minutes left. You know, even though Tatum did send that game into overtime, but they ran out of gas. They really didn't need that extra 5 minutes. They could have just kind of put the Clippers away. Again, it's, you know, one end of the spectrum to the other in terms of the Clippers and the Cavs. But we saw it a little bit with the Kings. The two times that they played them, those are close games. And that's an under 500 team. Trying to think out of the top of my head. The Cavs, the first time in Cleveland, they kind of blew a double-digit lead late, and I mean they still got the W. I believe Gordon played that game, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was he had the 16-for-16 game. So that's another example I can think of where the Celtics sometimes are like, oh yeah, we're comfortable. We got a good, you know, double-digit lead. We don't have to worry about, you know, trying to go hard or go all out, you know, late in the games. But you know, I guess it depends on your opponent. And we've seen that, I guess, for the first 22 games so far. That's, you know, there's been moments. I'm not gonna say like it's like a habit because it hasn't been, but they're getting better with not getting into a hole in the first quarter. They're coming out aggressive, which is great to see, especially with Gordon back. You know, I didn't expect Gordon to come back, you know, this soon. I would have figured he would have been back, you know. right before Christmas, or maybe like the Philly game, for example, because they're coming into town in a few days. But like I said, Cleveland, good game to, you know, fight to like get rid of those jitters, and it looks like Gordon hasn't really missed a beat. I mean, he did what he had to do to preserve that win and the rest of his teammates. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I like the way Gordon Hayward looked tonight. I think I don't think you saw any, at least I didn't notice any outward signs of, you know, lingering issues with the hand. I mean, other than shooting 0 for 2 from 3, but I mean, you can't be perfect. I mean, 7 for 10 from the
right.
field, you know, that's 70% from the field. Okay, so he missed a couple, you know, the two shots that he took from 3. Gordon Hayward played that, you know, that role that, I think that, you know, I compared his role, you know, in a certain way, the last show that I hosted, not in his style of play, but in the role that he plays, something similar to Al Horford, you know, a guy that, you know, he's big for, you know, in terms of Gordon Hayward, he's big for his size, so he can get rebounds, but he's also a good passer, he's a willing facilitator, and he's kind of like the guy that, you know, the I wouldn't say the use the term glue guy, but I think more like the guy that greases the wheel. He kind of facilitates a whole lot of things. And I know Kemba Walker's the point guard, and Kemba Walker can, you know, can pass the ball, although I think Kemba Walker is, you know, best used as kind of like that sniper that put, you know, the finisher, the guy that puts things away. I liked what Kemba Walker did tonight. I like the three threes in a row, the back-to-back-to-back threes. But Gordon Hayward really – I think when he's on the floor, I think he really, you know, things just seem to flow. You know what I mean? There's a flow to the game that comes, you know, with him out there. And I'm not saying they don't have that flow or they can't have that flow without him, but I think it just comes more naturally when he's out there. And I think, you know, that's borne out in the statistics of, you know, he's out there. I think he was technically, you know, I know Brad Stevens uses different nomenclature for his for the positions that he has out on the court, but you know, for what was technically the small forward, you know, 4 assists, you know, that's significant, that's decent, you know, 4 assists for a small forward, and he, you know, he's that facilitator, you know, Tatum had a couple of, you know, real sweet dimes tonight. Jaylen Brown had a couple of, you know, decent, you know, assists as well. But, you know, Brad Stevens likes to have multiple facilitators, multiple, you know, ball handlers, multiple players that can pass the ball and can distribute the ball on the court at the same time. And I think Gordon Hayward, you know, in the starting lineup, I think the last one of the last shows, the previous shows that I was on, I don't know if I was calling or if I was hosting, but somebody asked whether or not Gordon Hayward would be, you know, would start once he got back to the, you know, to the, once he got healthy again, given the fact that Marcus Smart was playing so well. And I said, I don't think he's getting paid, you know, max salary, and I don't think he'd be happy. You know, I don't think he'd be satisfied not starting. And I think this answered that, even though, you know, Marcus Smart was out tonight, I think that's not a bad thing. I think you have, you know, maybe some people may argue, but I think you have a fairly deep roster. And I think with some of the players that you have, you know, on here, I think intelligent, you know, minutes, you know, load management is, I think, what they call it. Intelligent load management wouldn't be a bad thing. And I think tonight, you know, you had, you know, Gordon Hayward coming back, perfect warm-up, as we've said multiple times now, against a, you know, team that wasn't much of a threat. Perfect warm-up game for Gordon Hayward to get back into the swing of the offense, back into the swing of the game, and, you know, use the Cleveland Cavaliers to do it. But also, you use this opportunity, a team that wasn't, you know, on paper and, you know, theoretically wasn't much of a threat, to also rest Marcus Smart, who is, you know, still nursing that abdominal injury. And just one thing I'd like to address, Joel, about, you know, the Celtics leading by 27 at one point and then allowing the Cleveland Cavaliers to get back down within 12 points. I think, you know, yeah, if that was the Clippers, if that was the Bucks, if that was, you know, some other team, they may have been able to get it within, you know, six or five or, you know, maybe even closer. But I don't think the Celtics would have had the 27-point lead to begin with. And I think, you know, I'm going to give the Celtics the benefit of the doubt and just say that, you know, at that point, you know, when you have that big of a lead, there tends to, you know, you unload the benches. Vincent Poirier was out on the floor for, you know, for God's sake. You know, it's like it's just a natural, you know, a natural kind of consequence of you beat the brakes off these guys all night. You kind of take your feet off the gas, you know, your foot off the pedal a little bit, and they kind of come back. And then we saw tonight, you know, the Celtics did exactly what they're supposed to do. Kemba Walker, as a leader of the Celtics, offensively, did exactly what he's supposed to do, and, you know, shut them back out. So I'm not going to criticize the Celtics too much for letting the Cleveland Cavaliers look like they had a chance to possibly think about coming back or getting back into the game, because they really didn't. But yeah, against better teams, yeah, I agree with you 100% that the Celtics would have needed to have been more urgent, maybe pulled Poirier out a little bit quicker than that. If you know, things started turning south against a more competitive team. But I have no. It's difficult to have any complaints about a, you know, 22-point beatdown. Isn't that what it is? 22 points. Yeah, 22-point beatdown of the Cleveland Cavaliers in Boston tonight. And I see the switchboards lining up. Just like to remind everybody that this is a live call-in show. Sponsored by HelloFresh, please call the HelloFresh toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. Dial 1 when you hear the automated operator to let us know that you'd like to get in on the conversation live on the air. With that, Joy, you think it's time to hit some of the call lines, hear what the callers have to say?
Let's do it. Let's get them on.
All right, we got nobody's screening tonight, so we're just going to go. If you don't want to be on the air, just let us know. We have 857 just called in, been on hold for about 3 minutes. 857, want to jump on the air? What'd you think about tonight's game?
What's up, fellas? What up, Nick? What up, Joel? Look at y'all two tearing
it up. Snap.
I know this voice.
What's going on, Nick?
I recognize
Has it been that
voice.
Long? Has it been that long, Nick? Damn, Nick don't even know who this is.
There's two of you. It's Joe
Say.
It's two of you.
How you doing, man? What's going on, fellas?
Excellent. It's good to hear from you.
Some Celtics basketball, like some hardcore Celtics basketball. Five guys in double figures. Gordon Hayward doing his thing. And
absolutely.
And I mean, it wasn't limited playing time, but I felt like it was just regular playing time. But you know, I'm pretty sure they kept a close eye on his minutes. But he, you know, I don't think he missed a beat.
He looked great. You know, he's doing that classic pull up. You know, the way he's running the floor, it's like he hasn't missed a step since the injury, which is obviously a good sign. But also, that's what I love about this box score as well. You know, I get it. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. You can take that for what it's worth. But you got the entire starting five scored double figures. No one took more than 15 shots, and that was Jaylen Brown who led the way with 20 points, of course. 9 of 15. Is this dude going to slow down anytime soon, guys? I mean, I don't see it happening anytime soon. And I can't think of a perfect scenario for this team, for their identity to have, you know, I mean, minus Marcus Smart, but to have this squad at full strength. Because, you know, Marcus Smart, he can take 4 months off, come back, and you'll see the same exact Marcus Smart you saw before he went out, right? But to have this team at full strength in this moment right now, in the midst of this little mini winning streak, I call it a mini winning streak because it's going to be an official winning streak when they take two more. I honestly think that's going to happen. The Indiana game will be the tougher one, in my opinion. But on the second night of a back-to-back at home against Philly, after the beatdown that this team went through in game one in Philadelphia, they're going to come correct against that team Thursday night at TD Garden. And we might even see a blowout. That's how confident I am in this team. And I think when you look back to what this team was in game one in Philly compared to now, completely different squad. Like, it's not even close. So I cannot wait for that matchup because I think that's going to be a very defining matchup. This team taking it to another level, which I expected after what I saw last week and after what I saw, you know, them playing against top-tier teams, you know, especially the one game, of course, that sticks out is against the Denver Nuggets, you know. And regardless, that team was on the second night of a back-to-back. This level of focus that this team is offensively is through the charts. It's ridiculous, folks.
Will Joel Embiid cry? Will we see snot bubbles in the locker room, Josue, after that game?
We might not see that. We might not see that. But the crowd, let me tell you this, the crowd may be so tough on him. And if he's having an off night, they might be so underneath his skin that there may be some furniture moving, fellas. We may see some Marcus Smart, Joel Embiid furniture moving sequel to what we saw in Philly last year. And if it's not Marcus Smart, it's going to be someone else in the mix. Maybe Enes Kanter. I would love to see that. How fun would that be? An Enes Kanter and a Joel Embiid beef while Al Horford is 15 feet away hoping that the thing could just be over with. You know, that's what we saw when he went up against Kat. So you can probably expect the same thing for a matchup between Embiid and Enes Kanter.
Grant Williams too, man. I wouldn't want to mess with him, man. He's quiet, man. It's a quiet one you gotta look out for.
Grant, I don't know. Grant needs another year or two, man. Grant, he's having the time of his life. He's still in the honeymoon phase. But you know what? After making that three-pointer, he might flip the switch. You're right, Joel. That might happen. We could see that.
Has he hit more three-pointers than Ben Simmons so far in his career now?
Legitimate ones, yes. Yes, the preseason doesn't count. So, yeah, that's a good point. Actually,
so
you know
Ben Simmons is still at zero in the regular season? Oh, my God. Williams did it before Ben Simmons.
Exactly right. If you're gonna add preseason, he's got more than a few on Ben Simmons. Believe it or not,
preseason don't count. That don't mean nothing. I'm talking about regular season, like real basketball games.
No, I know, Grant but Williams, like either way you slice it, Grant Williams has more threes than the, or at least they would be evened up, I guess. But yeah, if you were add preseason,
right, there
but
you go.
I mean, either way, I just think this team is on a whole nother, like the platform that they're on right now, the level of focus, man, I really think we're going to see something special between now and the rest of 2019. You know, the Christmas Day matchup, of course, in Toronto is going to be a good one. You know, those are just a couple of key matchups. Of course, Philadelphia Thursday. But yeah, man, you guys are killing it in terms of talking about the depth of the team, of course. They just continue to show that. All five stars in double figures. No one's taking anywhere near 20 shots. And someone like Kemba Walker, of course, can just, you know what, when he's seen enough, when he's fed up, three three-pointers in, what, 2 minutes in that fourth quarter? Okay, guys, let's clear our benches here. Let's take the night off, and let's rest up for Wednesday, man. I love to see it.
Productive and efficient. Productive
Absolutely.
And efficient.
Right.
No, that's probably the best term. Like, efficiency is what this Celtics team, especially when everyone is on. And like Josue said, you didn't need a whole bunch of shots, but, you know, they got the job done. This game was out of reach, you know, right at the beginning of the third quarter. But at the same time, they could have all just said, you know, we're up by whatever 20 some points. Let's just take it easy. But everybody got their piece of the pie. Like I said, like it's just the even, you know, balanced scoring that it continues to just make this team fun and watchable. That's something that you didn't always see last season. But, you know, it's just fun. It's just fun to watch. I can't think of another term. It's just fun to watch. It really is. And you can see that they're having fun too. So, I mean,
definitely.
Jalen Brown, you can tell he's improved in every aspect of his game. And you know, for those thinking that, you know, Jalen and Gordon Hayward can't coexist on this squad, like just keep watching, and you'll be proven wrong. Like,
did you see Jalen's hook shot? I didn't know he had that move in his repertoire. Like he has moves in his repertoire that I had no idea he even had. He's stepped as the game. I mean, like he's improved. I mean, not just like the natural improvement. I mean, he's actually like new, like next level. He like jumped a couple of levels. He's not even just like one level up. He's like jumped a couple of levels in all facets of his game, and especially defense. I think I was gonna start this game with a hot take, but then, you know, Kemba Walker hit those three threes in a row, and I was kind of like, man, maybe I'll back up off that. But I was gonna start this show with Jaylen Brown might be the Celtics' best player. I really think that Jaylen Brown, when he's on, I don't think this team loses. I think Jaylen Brown, when he's playing, you know,
no one can stay in front of him. He blows past the defender, and you know why? You know what the best thing is about it? He's not going to command a double team because people are too worried about Kemba and Tatum now. So he's going to eat all day. Like I just think out of the three, like Jaylen, And he's strong, and his confidence is through the roof. You know, that contract, I mean, listen, for what it's worth, man, I've been saying this, you know, the last week or so, or last couple of weeks, since he's been going through this stride or through this streak of great offensive performances. Jaylen Brown, that contract just put it in his head, okay, not only does this team believe in me, but they're investing in me. Let's do it now, you know? Think about what he went through last year. Think about what he went through heading into the regular season. You know, am I going to be on the trading block? Is the team fully committed to me? You know, the last time they've extended someone's contract was Rajon Rondo. Am I that guy? Am I good enough? All those questions were answered. And now it's like, okay, now I got it now. This team believes in me. I'm a vital piece of this offense. I'm free to do, you know, I got my confidence through the roof. I'm free to spread my wings and put together the best season of my career. And he's already there. You know, he's getting there already. And he hasn't even hit that ceiling yet, that stride. Guys, if he keeps this up in another couple of weeks, we're talking about an all-star here, fellas. We're talking about three all-stars going to Indianapolis, wherever they're going. I don't know, where the all-star game is at this year. We're talking about that.
I was going to ask both of you, how many all-stars do the Celtics send we'll just say Minneapolis. We'll guess that that's where it is. How many All-Stars do the Celtics send to the All-Star game?
I think that's next year or this year. I don't remember which one, but I know they're going to Indianapolis one of these years. But, yeah, I think
wherever
it is, right,
how many do they send? How many do they send? Joe, say you first. How many do they send? How many do you think they're going to – how many Celtics do you think are going to be in the All-Star game this year?
I'm saying three. I think they're going to send three, especially if we're talking about a team that's still in the second seed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, how do you not send three of them, you know? You know, that's not something that you can say about the Milwaukee Bucks, you know? And they're the number one team in the East right now. You know, I just think the depth and the numbers, I mean, when's the last time we saw, you know, almost, I mean, you know, there's an asterisk over Hayward, but, you know, arguably three 20-plus point scorers on the Celtics team. Like, we haven't even seen anything like that since the big three. It's just the early big three years, right? When Paul and KG and Ray, I think it was Ray that was the only one that I think he averaged, what, Joel remembers this better than I will, 18 maybe, I think he was at. 17, 18,
yeah,
they all made it, but, you know, like we're seeing something similar right now.
Yeah. It was like 16, 17 that first year.
Right.
Here, 20, and, like, Garnett was just, like, right, like, 8, like around, like, 8, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Paul's 21, KG 20, something like that, and Ray was, like, 18, 17. Like, that's what we're seeing right now. And I'm not saying that this team is as great as that or as talented as that team. But,
Rondo came later. You got theoretically four guys. You got Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward. They can theoretically, I mean, are they all going to average 20 points a game? I doubt it. Somebody's going to have a little bit less. Somebody's going to have a little bit more. But the fact that any one of those guys can go off for 30, you know, 40 points a game, you know, a night in any given night, just makes this team so dangerous. They don't have to, you know, average. Each of them doesn't have to average 20, you know, 22, whatever it is, a game. You don't have to get 20 a night, every single night out of every single one of them. One might have, you know, 15, 17, you know, 19 points, while the other one has, you know, 31, you know, 32, whatever it is. But any one of those guys can give you a massive night. And I think, you know, Jason Tatum especially, I love his, you know, for all the talk about the Celtics need a center, the Celtics need a big man, the last I checked, and this is a couple of games ago, they were tied for eighth in defensive rebounding in the league and in sixth place in blocks. I don't think this team needs anything, and I think that you're seeing that from, you know, in situations like tonight. Now, I know that the Cleveland Cavaliers are not, you know, anything special, but, you know, they had they went up against Jokic just a couple of nights ago and still held their own. I think this team is just vibing so well right now that I think, you know, when you go on social media and you read these fans that are talking about things that the Boston Celtics need, and you hear some of these, you know, stupid ideas that come through, it's like, what are you smoking? We just went through, you know, we just went through these two seasons that were, like, you know, painful, like going to the dentist, painful to watch, and we finally have some fun basketball with players that clearly these guys like playing with each other. That Grant Williams to Gordon, that Gordon Hayward to Grant, back to Gordon Hayward play was just a thing of beauty and magic. And you see these guys loving to play with each other and the chemistry they have. It's like, why would you want to, you know, disrupt that? I mean, you don't need a big, you know, all-star name center. The reason that the Boston Celtics play this way is because Brad Stevens has a switch defense. And in order to have a switch defense, you can't have a big lumbering Moose Monroe type of, you know, center that's going to go out there. Or his former teammate, what's his name? Drummond. I forgot his first name. I can't remember because I don't care that much. Andre Drummond, is that what it is? Drummond? Whatever his name is. Andre Drummond, you don't need one of those guys because how good is he on the switch defense? What happens when he gets isolated on the perimeter and somebody blows right by him? You don't need that. Right. You have a guy like Daniel Tice. Yeah, he might get beat up a little bit on the post, on the block by a guy like Embiid, but on most nights, you know, he's going to be
able to all that. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The help defense. And that's why Brad Stevens likes guys that can, you know, move on, you know, they can switch on defense. And in case, you know, there's a matchup they don't like, somebody gets exploited, he's a good help side shot blocker. And he also happens to be able to spread the floor on offense. He can hit a few threes. And he's a decent passer. He's not a bad passer. That's the prototype of a big man that Brad Stevens likes. And if that means that you're, you know, eighth place in defensive rebounding instead of or in overall rebounding instead of, you know, like in top five, like as long as you're top 10, what's the problem? You know what I mean? This team is just I don't get it, but I think this team is fantastic, and I don't get the fans that just can't be, you know, happy for once, especially after what we just went through. You know what I mean? As fans, having to kind of, you know,
the spoiled fans, man. It's like, you know, like you said, so like, you know, something good for like a little bit being the moment kind of thing, and they're like, well, actually, if you, you know, got rid of one guy and brought in another guy, then maybe, you know. All this, you know, this hoopla about, you know, a big man or whatever, like, let this season,
the methodic,
you know,
big man.
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask those people which big man, they can't give you an answer. Yeah, who? Give me a name. I don't know somebody. Oh, yeah, okay, that dude. Yeah, he sounds good.
Clint Capella. Let's trade Marcus Smart for Clint Capella. That's a good one. I think I think before the season people were talking about, what was Jaylen Brown for Clint. I mean, come on now. I can't justify some of the things that these people think. This team is playing as well as any team can. Like I mentioned at the opening of the show, they flashed a stat on NBC Sports Boston. The best home start since 2007-2008, and we all know what happened in 2007-2008. Not trying to jinx them. I'm not predicting anything, but I'm saying, like, this team is playing extremely well. And if you look statistically, just because, you know, Daniel Tice is not that big, you know what I'm saying, and because, you know, Robert Williams, you know, occasionally plays out of position and isn't a traditional, you know what I'm saying, back-to-the-basket big man, doesn't mean that you need, you know what I'm saying, a superstar. What do they want? I think probably somebody like Karl Anthony Towns would be the guy that they'd pick. I see a lot of people talking about Drummond, and I just don't get the desire for Drummond whatsoever. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. No, I hate you, man. I just think you just gotta let the season play itself out. You know what I mean? If the next, you know, month and a half, you see like a complete, and I really, I highly doubt this will happen, but a 180 of what we're seeing right now, then you might want to, you know, consider making a tweak there. But for right now, like just let these guys keep playing together, and even in the areas that you think they might need to improve in, maybe they'll improve in on their own without having to make a change in terms of training somebody or signing you know, a free agent or whatever the case may be. Just let it iron itself out. It's December. Let it simmer a little bit, and then you can taste it later on and say, okay, this might need a little bit of salt or might need a little bit of pepper, whatever. Just let it simmer.
Right.
Let it,
we've been saying that for weeks. It's like, let's find out what we got. Right, exactly. Hey, fellas, this is the first time we had three Latinos and one on hosting the show right now on the same show.
I think
show?
So. Yeah.
Same time? The all Latino show.
Catrachos
y un
peruano.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Yo, keep up the good work, man. I'm gonna head up out of here. But next time, man, I'll definitely be calling in again. If not hosting, one
hey,
of the two.
Hey, Joe Sway. Josue, CLNS royalty, Josue Pavone, that's the man right here. He just came through and just set the whole show on fire. I like that. Josue Pavone, thanks for calling in. Yo.
Appreciate it, Nick. Joel, man, you already know. I'll talk to you.
And salute. I appreciate you, bro. Causeway in the
building. Later, guys.
All right. G, Josue Pavone. There he goes. That's the man right there. We're going to go straight back to the call lines, Joel, and get to Jersey City. 201, you've been waiting on the line for a long time. 201, you got something to tell us. Jersey City, what's up? 201.
Hello.
What's up? Do you want to get on the air or are you just listening? We'll let Jersey City just marinate. Hey, 201, if you want to get on the air, press 1 on your phone. That'll let us know to kick back to you and try to bring you on the air. With that, I'm going to do the read real quick for one of our sponsors, betonline.ag, making CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show possible, along with HelloFresh. Sports betting at betonline.ag sportsbook. Betonline.ag is more than just an online betting platform. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering clients nothing but the best, from cutting-edge technology, enticing promotions, and the latest sports betting odds. Arguably their most popular and well-known service, their famous sports book is where a lot of magic happens. Here, you will find live lines for all major sporting events, including NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, soccer, tennis, rugby, badminton, cricket, field hockey, and so much more. Their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites quickly and easily and in real time. Client input is extremely important to them, so feel free to offer your valuable suggestion to help them give you the best platform for all your sports betting, horse betting, poker, and casino gambling needs. And when you go to sports betting at betonline.ag, make sure to enter CLNS50 and get 50% match from betonline.ag. So if you bet $100 on your first bet on betonline.ag, they will match you up to 50%, meaning if you bet $100, they'll give you $50 to match your bet. So check out betonline.ag for all your sports betting and other betting needs. With that, I'm going to go straight back to the analysis. So Josue brought up the next two games coming up. We have a game, I believe, on, Wednesday at Indiana, and then a back-to-back Thursday at home against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Boston Celtics have won 4 in a row now, and I believe 6 out of their previous 7. Do you think the Boston Celtics are going to extend that winning streak back up to 6 games after that back-to-back against the Indiana Pacers in Indiana and the Philadelphia 76ers at home? Are you as confident as Josue, the other Pavone, is about those two games, Joel?
I am, because of one guy, and that his name is Gordon Hayward. You know how Gordon goes, like to go off in Indiana, and it's his first time, you know, this season that he's playing back at home. So you know he likes to ball out in Indy. So he's going to have another good game. You know, one of those efficient Gordon Hayward type games, because before he went down with the fractured left hand, he was shooting like 56% from the field, and like it doesn't get any more efficient than that when you're averaging nearly 20 points on like 8 shots, 9 shots, and getting to the free throw line. And I think at one point he was leading the Celtics in rebounding at like 7, and distributing the ball. Like he's been the all around like Gordon Hayward that Celtics fans expected to see when he originally signed here 2 years ago. So he's gonna have a big game that day, and you know he's gonna have a big game against Philly, because everyone wants to get that game back, that season opener back. Everyone would wish to replay that again, because Josue made a great point. Celtics have been such a much more well-rounded team since the first time they saw Philly. So,
definitely,
you know, they want that one. And it's going to be, you know, an emotional night for Al Horford, because you know the fans, the Celtics fans here are going to, you know, give him a nice round of applause. I'm not going to say, I don't think he's going to get any boos, you know, regardless of what happens in the offseason. You know, I feel like he came to do what he was supposed to do. He was a even though he was only at Celtics for 3 years, but he was, you know, a big that wasn't supposed to do the things that bigs do, if you know what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't supposed to be a passer. He wasn't supposed to be a shooter. He was just supposed to just bang down low, but he not only did he anchor the Celtics defense, something that we hadn't seen from a big since KG left, but he was the first Celtic signing, free agent signing, like, ever, I believe. So he meant a lot to this franchise, even though he only played here 3 years. So I think he'll get a good, you know, a good reception, and I think that might affect his play as well, if that makes sense. So I think two W's, an emotional night for Al Horford when he makes his return, and we'll see Gordon do his thing like he did tonight, but more so against Indiana, and even probably I think he might even lead the team in scoring and assists come Thursday night. That's a national televised game. That's going to be on TNT when they play the Sixers here in Boston. So I look forward to these two games. What about you, Nick? What are your thoughts? What do you think? You know, two
W's. Yeah,
that's
going to be. I don't want to say either one of them is a given, although I think that personally I would tend to agree with you. The Indiana game is probably going to be a little bit less of a challenge. I think you're going to have probably a Gordon Hayward Indiana guy go off. I think our Brad Stevens Indiana guy, you know, go off out there. You know, not that he's going to go off on the court, but, you know, have something, you know, ready to go. I think he has this team rolling. I think Brad Stevens has this team exactly where he wants it to be. This is the team that, you know, I think in all reality, the team that he's really envisioned having this entire time. The Philly game, I don't know how much of an emotional issue is going to cause with Al Horford. Although I would like to see the Boston Celtics force Philly to play their game, force Philly out of the paint, get Philly out of the paint, make them, you know, shoot jump shots. I think Al Horford, Philly doesn't. I mean, I know they have that kid they got from Miami, and I think they have a couple of other guys that, you know, they can come off the bench and you know, hit a couple of shots. But I don't think they really have that reliable jump shooter. And I think, you know, in my opinion, and maybe I'm just a cynical guy, maybe I don't, you know, forgive and forget as easy as other people. I definitely agree with you that Al Horford was that you know, major max free agent signing that kind of opened the gates for the Boston Celtics to then, you know, bring in a guy like Hayward and then, you know, attract a guy like Kemba Walker. I know that ended up being a trade, but that was more for, you know, just for money's sake, for contractual purposes, because I think Kemba Walker, if he had to, you know, would have come here just on a free agent, you know, signing. So I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. That's one thing that I am interested in seeing is do the Celtics fans, and I consider, you know, Boston fans. I know other fans from other parts of the country may disagree. I know I live in Florida now, so I get to hear it from people from all over the country because, you know, when you live in coastal Florida, I live in Tampa Bay, when you live in coastal Florida, you live in an area like this, you get people from all over the country. You get New Yorkers, you get people from the Midwest, you get people from Chicago and Ohio and Pennsylvania and all over the place, and the general consensus is that we're assholes as Boston fans, but I think that generally speaking, Boston sports fans, Massachusetts sports fans, New England sports fans are generally intelligent and educated and knowledgeable about their sports. So I would like to think that, you know, that they understand what happened with Al Horford. However, I think, you know, there's still an element there where, you know, and I think if Philly were doing a lot better than the Celtics right now, like if the Celtics had dropped off and weren't doing, you know, so well, and Philly were doing, you know, better, which is not the case. You know, the Celtics have a better record than the 76ers right now. I think they've been doing better overall since that game. I think that, you know, not that Philly's, you know, been trashed by any stretch of the imagination, but I think if it had been a, you know, a different, you know, a different situation, I think if you maybe, you know, if you if you saw Philly, you know, go out and, you know, win something, you know what I'm saying, that first year out, I think next year you would then hear people be, you know, extremely pissed off at Al Horford. But right now, I think, you know, the Philadelphia hasn't done enough to really make anybody, you know, like jealous. I think most Boston fans, you know, when they think about, oh, well, you know, even the ones that are spoiled and that are still thinking about, you know, who else can the Celtics add to this roster or what trades can they make? And I think both of us in Josue as well are all in agreement that, you know, that's just ludicrous. It's ridiculous talk to, excuse me, to sit there and, you know, wonder about who the Celtics can bring in and what trades they can make when they're playing so well right now. And when you look at the statistics, it really doesn't even warrant that type of thing. But it, even for those fans that are thinking about that, I don't think that they're sitting there saying, well, I wish we could go out and trade for, you know, Al Horford. You know what I mean? I think it would be nice if in an ideal world where, you know, players were still, you know, loyal and players really wanted to win. And I think Al Horford said something to some effect that had he known Kemba was going to end up, you know, with the Celtics, he may have considered staying or something like that. I believe it was Nick Gelso that told me that. I don't want to misquote anybody, but I believe I had heard Nick Gelso say something like that. But, I mean, you know, in an ideal world, would it have been nice if, you know, Al Horford would have taken a pay cut and you could have kept Horford and still got, you know, Kemba Walker and still had, you know, this basic team just minus, you know, maybe Enes Kanter and, you know, some of the other extraneous pieces and had, you know, Al Horford. This would have been, you know, an instant, you know what I'm saying, a finals, you know, favorite. I think they would have been, you know, an unstoppable force, even more so than the greener pasture that Al Horford left Boston for with Philadelphia. But, I mean, you know, all things considered, like I said, the Boston Celtics, any fan that you know, that's worth their salt and worth their, you know, that worth their, you know, their you know, whatever it is in sports knowledge. And like I said, I give Boston fans the benefit of the doubt that, you know, sure, maybe obnoxious occasionally, but maybe spoiled occasionally, but definitely knowledgeable. And I think that, you know, I think that Boston fans understand this team is this Boston team is special, and while having Al Horford may have been, you know, some nice icing on the cake, I don't think that, you know, he's necessary for this team's success, and I don't think that the Boston Celtics would trade their situation that they have now for really anything. And as Josue pointed out, even those that, you know, would trade, they can't name who they would trade for. So, you know, it's just really just a hypothetical. It's an exercise in, you know,
in
hypothetics. Yeah, so I'd like to see what happens. I'm interested in that. I think you may hear some smattering of boos, but I think you'll probably get a respectable, you know what I mean, hand clap. But I think, you know, a respectable, you know, round of applause. Nothing overly, you know, emotional. Nobody's going to be crying because Al Horford came back. Maybe Al Horford. I think Al Horford would kind of like the city. I know his sister, Anna Horford, certainly did. When Al Horford left, she tweeted several things, you know, about, you know, feeling like leaving Boston was like a breakup for her. So I think that there were some ties that were, you know, some roots being laid down here in Boston that, you know, had circumstances been different. And I think maybe that was, you know, a little bit of collateral from the toxic, you know, situation that the Celtics had with their previous point guard, who shall remain nameless on the shows that I host. that's the one thing that's interesting. But yeah, I think the Boston Celtics are poised right now for a 2-0 run going forward, and then I think it's going to be a nice challenge. I'd like to see how the Boston Celtics do in about a week when they travel into Dallas, because I believe they beat Dallas the last time in Boston, and I think that'll be their next opportunity to go on the road at Dallas on the 18th, and then, like you mentioned, the Christmas Day game at Toronto. I want to see how these Boston Celtics do against you know, high caliber competition on the road. These games, you know, at home, playing Philly at home, that's nice. I want that so that the Boston Celtics can get their revenge against the Philadelphia 76ers for the opening night game, because these teams are definitely, you know, in two different places right now than they were on opening night. But I'm really interested in seeing what I want to see now from the Celtics. The next test that I want to see is I want to see them beat an elite caliber team team or a contending caliber team on the road. And I think the next opportunity for that is going to be Dallas on the 18th and then Toronto on the 25th. Maybe I'm overstating Dallas's record, but I think that they're a reasonable test going into Dallas and playing them with Luka Doncic and all those other, whoever else they have on their team. I think that's going to be a good test. That's what I want to see from the Celtics moving forward. And maybe that's the next place we can go with this is, what would you like to see from the Celtics as we close this show out? What would you like to see from them to, if you have any doubts, maybe you don't have any doubts at all, maybe you're totally convinced, but if you just pretend you did have doubts, or maybe you do have doubts, what would you like to see the Boston Celtics do to prove to you that this team is legit for this season? What is the next test that you think that you might think they need to pass to convince you that this team is legit for the 2019-2020 season?
Give me another double-digit win streak. I want to see that. It's not necessary.
Ah.
I would love to see that. Because
I think they're more than halfway there. Isn't that what it is? No, they're four games there. So they're four games there.
Yeah.
After these next two games, if you think these two games are W's, they'll be more than halfway there. So what would that take? They've already won four games. That would take a win at Indiana, take a win a home against the Philadelphia 76ers, win at Dallas, and then Detroit, Charlotte, at Toronto, and I believe, what is that? Would that be another win in Cleveland, or would that be too many? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, Toronto. So if they get through Toronto, winning all those games, Indiana, Philadelphia, Dallas, Detroit, Charlotte, Toronto, that'll be a 10-game winning streak. And I think that's a perfect metric, Joel, because that basically encompasses exactly what I wanted to see as well, which is some quality wins on the road. So another double digit winning streak and some quality wins on the road, and I think that'll prove that this Boston Celtics team it really is legit. And at that point, once you get into the new year, you're pretty much right on top of All-Star Weekend, and at that point you can kind of start drawing conclusions about this team, about how legit this team really is or not. You know what I mean? Because it'll be halfway through the season, we'll really be able to get a feel for this team.
It's for the naysayers, it's for the national media to take this team serious. I feel like they still are not taking this team serious. So I think another double.
Oh, they never will.
Another double digit win streak might perk one of their eyebrows, like, oh, okay, I think I might have to start paying attention a little bit more to the Celtics here, because they're not, it's not just a hot start. This is going to sustain for the next month or so. So let's see what's in store for the naysayers in the next few weeks. At least to round off 2019,
Definitely. If there are two things, and I'll make it brief, if there are two things national sports writers and sports media like to do, and one is sell Boston sports team short, whichever team you're talking about, they just like to sell all of them short. And, the Celtics like to sell them short. The Patriots, I think that they got robbed against that game, whatever it was, the night before. What was it, last night and yesterday afternoon?
Yeah.
They got robbed. There's two touchdowns called back. The Red Sox, the Bruins, they like to sell Boston teams short. That's just what they do. They, for some reason, like I said, the national perception of Boston teams, for those fans listening that have never lived outside the Boston area, is generally a negative one. I think it's born largely out of envy, because we just happen to have some very winning teams in the Boston area. And the other thing that national sports writers, don't like to do is be wrong. And I think the vast majority of them predicted the Boston Celtics were going to be a four seed at best, that the retool, the previous previous point guard leaving, Al Horford leaving, and basically getting a return of Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. The four seed, maybe a three seed, at best four seed, maybe a five or even a six seed. I saw some absolutely ridiculous people predicted there would be a seven or eight seed. I don't know where anybody that he pulled that from, but they should, you know, if they considered themselves professionals, should definitely quit their day job and, you know, go back to asking if, you know, I'd like fries with that, because they definitely shouldn't be sports analysts if they thought this team was going to be a 7th or 8th seed. I thought, you know, a 3rd or 4th seed, you could see that, but I think right now, is, you know, from what I've seen, and I think we as fans, you know, say that and believe that, that this team is legit. This team has as much a chance of contending out of the Eastern Conference as anybody else. But for the national sports media, another 10-game, you know, double-digit win streak, sure. If that's what it takes, you know, to calm them down, I don't think they'll ever be placated, but I'm just cynical like that. And, you know, it gives motivation, you know, you got to have something to prove. I think a little bit of something to prove, a little bit of a chip on the shoulder never hurts anybody. I think it gives you something to play for, and I think this team has flown under the radar, and once, you know, they get through this stretch, get through the, like you said, through to the new year, still, you know, close to the top of the Eastern Conference, I think it's going to turn a lot of heads and have a lot of people reconsidering their preseason predictions. Anyways, with that, I think that's we've covered pretty much, you know, most of this 110-88 Boston Celtics win over the Cleveland Cavaliers at TD Garden, extending their home record to a perfect 10-0 at home, their best home start since the 07-08 season. Any last thoughts you'd like to throw out there, Joel, before I wrap up the show and call it a night?
No, just you know, Let's for those that think that a change needs to be made to this team, just let this team, you know, simmer a little bit and enjoy some of the flavor and the juices before, you know, anything else needs to be added. Just let it ride a little bit, you know. And for those that have heard Josue and I before on other CLNS Media podcasts, you know, I invite those to come and listen to Josue and I and our other co-host Sean on the Causeway Street podcast, part of the CLNS Network. You know, that's a weekly podcast, and a new episode was just released yesterday. I talked about the return of Gordon Hayward and how he will impact the Celtics' great chemistry as we speak. So check that out. That's live on the CLNS Media Network. So that's all I got. Nick, how about yourself?
Love it. The Causeway Street podcast on the CLNS Media Network. Make sure to check that out. If you like what you heard tonight, you got a little bit of a preview of it tonight with the Pavone brothers, Joel and Josue. Tonight, excellent analysis. Two of my favorites. I love working with both of you guys. So definitely worth checking out the Causeway Street podcast. And if you'd like to discuss some Boston Celtics on social media, check out the Boston Celtics Bleed Green group on Facebook. There's a couple of imitators, but we are the only one with 93,000 members, so fairly informed group. No spam. We keep it tight over there. I founded it a few years back, so check out Boston Celtics in parentheses Bleed Green. Get some, you know, analysis, get some talk. If you breaking news, it always seems to come out, you know, right away in that group. I get a lot of information from there. I know some people like to do Twitter, some people, those that are less less discerning, like to go with Instagram. I don't think there's any redeeming qualities to Instagram, but cool pictures. And yeah, so check out the Causeway Street podcast with Joel and Josue Pavone. Check out Boston Celtics Bleed Green, and make sure to check us out here on the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post game show as we return Wednesday, December 11th.
All can be found on iTunes, by the way, just throwing that out there. You know, the post-game show and Causeway Street. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
your group is on Facebook as well. So, yeah, that's good stuff.
Covering all bases. That's right. And everything you hear on the CLNS Media Network, you can find on iTunes and Stitcher. So look out for us, as well as Blog Talk Radio, if you really want to go to the Blog Talk website. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's all good. You know, check us out on any platform, wherever it is. You're going to get the same incredible analysis, informed analysis, excellent listening, if you are a diehard Boston Celtics fan, check us out anywhere on all platforms. Stitcher, iTunes, Facebook. I'm sure a bunch of you guys are on Twitter as well. Check us all out. And with that, remember to check us out again on Wednesday, December 11th, as the Boston Celtics take on the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. The show will begin promptly after the final buzzer, or 9:30, whichever comes first. We generally start about 2.5 hours after the game begins. So make sure to tune back in. And with that, for my co-host, Joel Pavone. Thanks, Joel. Always a pleasure to work with you, my man. I am Nick Sicento. Thanks, I appreciate it. I am Nick Sicento, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics Post Game Show. Have a good evening, folks.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
Don't.